I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll talk about those programs to forgive student loans. States and the federal government have been using them to draw people to careers in vital but low-paying occupations. But could the recession jeopardize those programs? We'll try to find out in just a few minutes. But first, news from bankruptcy court, where auto giant General Motors found itself yesterday. The embattled company has faced years of losses and market share declines. And while the bankruptcy cost thousands of employees their jobs, today GM is still open for business. But is that the same for individuals who find themselves in a deep financial hole? What's the difference? Our regular money coach, Alvin Hall, is traveling. So joining us to explore these questions are two people who've joined us before. Michelle Singletary, she's an expert on personal finance and the author of the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money. Also with us is Boyce Watkins. He's an assistant professor of finance at Syracuse University and also a commentator on and blogger on finance and other issues. Welcome back to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here as well.
Boyce Watkins, please explain what happens when a company files for bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy is effectively a financial incubator in which the company says, look, hey, we can't take it anymore. We don't have the liquidity to meet all of our debt obligations, and we're literally suffocating under this debt. So we're going to go to the government for a little bit of protection, just long enough for us to reorganize. And the trade-off, though, is that the equity holders who are traditionally in control of the company, they get to make the decisions, they get to vote, they get to decide the direction of the company. They're sort of giving a lot of that control over to the government and to trustees, who are then assigned the responsibility of making sure that the claims of the debt holders are respected and represented. And so the ultimate goal is within bankruptcy is to hopefully create a safe space in which the company can reorganize itself, re-energize itself, and sort of get prepared to take on the world back out in the wild again, the same way you keep the baby in the incubator until he's ready to breathe on his own.
Michelle, what about personal bankruptcy? Do the same principles hold true?
Generally, with personal bankruptcy, most people file under either Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. Very few individuals file under Chapter 11 unless they're small business owners. And so under 7, you're basically saying, I'm broke. I don't have any more money. I'm sorry. You're not getting paid. And those who do get some money, generally if you've got a house or a car, something that is backed, you have an asset that is, that you can turn in or still hold on to. Chapter 13 allows people to keep a lot of their things and work out a repayment plan. So what you're saying is, you know, I'm really busted but not broke. So I have some money to pay you back, and I'm going to generally take about, in Chapter 13, 3 to 5 years to pay people back most of what you owe. So it's very different for individuals than it is when a corporation files for Chapter 11.
And why is that?
Well, because with individuals, especially if you're talking about Chapter 7, you're basically saying, I'm done. I have no more money. I'm not going to be able to pay you. And you get a clean slate of your unsecured debt. So things are wiped away. There's some debts that are not wiped away, like tax debts, student loans, those kinds of things. And so that's how it's different. With the Chapter 11, with a business, they're allowed to continue to operate, and they're saying, yeah, I'm broke, but, you know, I think if you give me some slack, I can try to make my way out of this. And there have been major companies that have filed for Chapter 11 and have come out of it. Kmart, for one. People thought they were dead, but they were able to survive. They're a much leaner company than they used to be, but there's still Kmarts around. And there are major companies that file Chapter 11 who can't come out. They just can't, you know, make enough business to keep themselves going.
But Michelle, you have cautioned repeatedly in your column and on this program and other programs about personal bankruptcy as a last resort. Why is it such a dire step, or why should it be such a last resort step for individuals?
Well, because for individuals, it really does ruin your credit for about 10 years. So that means anytime you going forward that you want to buy a car or a house or something, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Now, the way the system used to work is you really couldn't buy anything for a very long time. Now that's not the case. You can buy something, a car and a house, but you're going to pay, you know, double or triple the interest rates of someone who has good credit. And, you know, there's also the moral application. If you can avoid bankruptcy, if you can cut your budget, get some extra money, do whatever that you can to try to pay people back, that is the right thing to do.
But Boyce, but you know, this is an interesting question because I don't hear these moral arguments attached to corporations that file for bankruptcy, Boyce. And I'm, you know, I'm not sure why that is, or because we think of corporations as fundamentally amoral, or why?
The job of a company's managers is to maximize shareholders' wealth. And so morality only becomes convenient if it's profitable to be moral. So the truth of the matter is that corporations have their own incentives. It's not necessarily morality that might keep them from filing, but you have reputational impacts of filing for bankruptcy. Most Americans don't really understand what bankruptcy means when it comes to a corporation, and they don't understand the benefits of bankruptcy. So when GM says, we're going to go bankrupt, and Toyota says, hey, we're not going bankrupt, then you know that person deciding which car to buy and which warranty to believe in is going to think, well, maybe Toyota is a little bit of a safer bet. And even though that's not necessarily the case, because one of the things that's interesting about GM is that they're getting support from the Obama administration, which is a pretty strong financial backer for right or wrong. So bankruptcy can actually be a good thing for a corporation. In the case of GM, they really need to be restructured, because if you really look at the details of GM's balance sheet, it's an absolute mess. So I'm curious to see how this is going to turn out.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with personal finance columnist Michelle Singletary and Professor of Finance Boyce Watkins, and we're talking about personal and corporate bankruptcy. We're comparing and contrasting. And Boyce, you made the point that there are reputational effects for companies as well as for individuals, and a number of people pointed out that it's, say, an airline going into bankruptcy is different than a car company. Say, if you buy a ticket from an airline and you're going to go on a trip and it's over in a week or whatever, but for a car, you're expecting to have it for a number of years. And so you're worried to see if that car company is going to be around to service your car. What about all the employees who've invested their careers in a company like GM? I mean, there are people who've worked for GM for decades. There are people who've worked for GM over two or three generations. Is it really realistic to expect a company like GM to come out of this okay, to survive and even to thrive?
GM can survive. The problem is that they made a lot of commitments during their heyday that have served to cripple them to this day. For example, the job banks, where you can get laid off and still get paid every day as if you were working each day. You know, these agreements that have been made throughout the past. In fact, if you look at GM's financial obligations, a huge percentage of their spending goes to people who don't even work for the company anymore. And so GM really needs to get to a safe space with the federal government, which I think was a good idea, and renegotiate these terms in a way that hopefully can be fair to the American worker, while at the same time allowing this company to be lean enough and strong enough to compete. But then there's a competing argument that says, you know, the government shouldn't even step in to support this company. They should just allow GM to disappear and allow more effective and efficient companies to fill that market share. And I'm not saying which side of that debate I'm on, but I will say that GM certainly has some things that need to be renegotiated. And the greatest benefit to GM in terms of bankruptcy is that they get to renegotiate their contracts with their laborers as well as with their creditors, which are a little bit out of whack.
Michelle, how about individuals who declare bankruptcy? As we know, there have been a wave of bankruptcies of individuals owing to current economic conditions, and I'm sure other factors that you would identify. But what happens next? What can individuals do to repair their financial profiles after a bankruptcy?
Right. Well, the thing is, there is life after bankruptcy. Many people go on to buy homes and cars and live productive lives. The whole point of bankruptcy is to give you a fresh start. And so the way to begin that is to, now that you don't have all that debt that is oppressive to you, to pay your bills going forward on time. And in a short period of time, less than probably 2 or 3 years, you'll see your credit ratings go up and you'll be able to, you know, go back and do hopefully better with your money. So it's not, you know, it's not like you're in a coffin and that's it. But it gives you a fresh start. And for some people, that's needed. Lots of people file bankruptcy. There's this thought that people are, you know, racking up all these credit card debts. For the most part, people who file bankruptcy, a couple things have happened. They've lost their job. They've got a divorce. They had a lot of medical expenses.
Yeah, serious health conditions, for example.
People file for bankruptcy.
And finally, Michelle, do you think, I'm wondering, given the prevalence of bankruptcy and all the public discussion around it because of the corporate situation, because of the recession, do you think that our cultural concept of bankruptcy will change as a result of the era that we're in? Do you think that, I guess what I'm wondering is, do you think there'll be as much stigma attached to it in the future as there has been in the past?
I I think it will be. I covered bankruptcy for a very long time for the Washington Post, and I've been in courts with people who filed, and people agonize about this. I'm sure GM still agonizes about this, and you should be. You should agonize. So, no, I don't think the stigma will go away. Those people who I know who filed were racked with guilt about it, and many of them. They're a small sliver of people who do it, and they're just deadbeats. But for the most part, people who file for bankruptcy, it's their last thing. They just can't handle it anymore. And I think the stigma should stay because it should be a stopgap so that people really consider, do I need to do this?
Michelle Singletary is an expert on personal finance. She's the author of the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money, along with a number of books. She joined us by phone from her home office in Maryland. Boyce Watkins is an assistant professor of finance at Syracuse University and a well-known commentator and blogger, and he joined us from WAER in Syracuse. I thank you both so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having me.